something that the church or believers have that the world has as well is belief. Each and every one of us in this room has belief. But it's what you have belief in that matters. You know, I once saw a seminar, or went through a seminar about leadership, and it said, you know, there are some who are willing to climb the ladder of success only to get to the top of it and find out that it was, that ladder was put on the wrong building. And to turn around and see where real success was, and that's in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, so where are you putting your ladder of belief up at? You know, because we're all going to climb higher and higher, and though the world would like to drag us back down to the lower rungs, through the power of God's Spirit within us, we rise up. Why? Because we believe not in the things seen, but in the things hoped for. We believe in a mighty God, one who is able to, as we sang about, move mountains today. One who is able to save that which we look at and go, wow, that person is so far gone, they could never be saved. And yet, Jesus says, oh, anything is possible through my strength. Because I died for all sins. And so, as I died for all people are possibilities. I really apologize last Sunday that I messed up. There was a program on that said, I am possibility. It was supposed to be on one of the channels on DirecTV and on cable both. And I completely forgot about it. But I Am Possibility was a story about a man who was born blind. Actually, it was a baby born blind, who grew up to be a man. And this man did not let his infirmities stop him from being all that God had created him for. And it was amazing to hear about. In fact, this is a true story about an individual in our lifetime, born blind, and yet honored with the ability to understand music. They show him at the, in one of the clips, sitting on his father's knee, and his father's at a piano, and he's playing, and all of a sudden the son reaches up with his finger, and he starts playing a note. And then he goes to the next note, and he starts picking up a song, and he's only like about 3 years old in this clip. And his father just takes his hands off the piano, and the son just starts playing. God has gifted him, just as God has gifted each and every one of us with the power of his Spirit to do things that we can never think or imagine beyond our own abilities. Belief. God wants us to cry out to him for spiritual revival and awakening. And we're to do that in faith. Anybody see the movie Little Boy? Cute little movie about a little boy in a little town who was pressed to believe that he had the powers to move objects. And a magician comes to town and he chooses a little boy who's teased by all the other kids because he's a little bit of a runt. You ever been teased or put down because you didn't quite measure up? you'd really relate to little boy, because it's back in a time when he was being bullied by the other kids. And now we have such an awareness of bullying and that we're not to do that sort of thing. Because it certainly doesn't build one's self-esteem up to be bullied, does it? But little boy is bullied, and out of all the boys gathered around for this magician's show, the magician picks little boy out to come up and to move this inanimate object across the table. And the magician is spurring him on, saying, you know, you just don't have enough faith. You must believe you can do this. And so it's really funny because he just like really wrinkles up his face, you know. And he's yelling. And he's shaking his hands at this bottle. And all of a sudden it starts moving across the table. And even the magician is amazed. And the kids in the audience were like, whoa. Little boy's a freak. Instead of embracing the power that he had the belief to have something happen and to move, do you have a belief that God can still move in our nation today? Because real faith depends, expects, and it acts. And we've got to know that God is true to his nature, as Peter wrote. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Huh. God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Now let me ask you, as this is my personal testimony, could we get a little AC on, please? As this is my personal testimony, there are people that are near and dear to me that I have been praying for years to accept Jesus Christ as dying for their sins and to accept the opportunity to live eternally with him. You see, it's not that we're not going to live eternally. It's just, where are you going to spend that eternity? You are either going to have it in the presence of God Almighty, or you are going to do it in the absence of God. No more hope. No more love. No more mercy. Instead, just judgment. Utter darkness. No light. Why? Because we know Jesus is light. So in an eternity of torment, it'll only be darkness. How many of you like complete, total darkness? I experienced it a few times. In fact, that was one of the tests of being on the fire department. They put this breathing apparatus on you. Actually, I put it on myself, with a tank on my back filled with air. And that tank was, you know, supposed to be good between 20 and 30 minutes. Am I right, Bob? About 20, 30 minutes? That's if you controlled your breathing. Well, everything was going just fine as I've got my mask on and it's going. And then they put this canvas bag over my head that blacked out everything. Talk about feeling claustrophobic. And inside that canvas bag was me. Gotta slow down. If I don't slow down, it's not gonna last. Why does it sound like Darth Vader in here? And then I had someone instruct me, okay, kneel down right here, and there's a charged hose line, and we want you to crawl through this building. keeping your hand attached to that line. And oh, by the way, your partner's holding onto your tail or onto your leg. We didn't have a tail. That was stupid. But hold on to your ankle. So make sure you stay connected with your buddy and that you're talking. And halfway through this exercise, we're going to change so that you respond with each other and get to depend on one another. It's called teamwork. And so we crawled through this building. And at the very end of it, which I'm thinking to myself, my partner's going really, really slow. But they had put all sorts of things in his way, and he was trying to feel out just exactly where the hose went. I mean, they did dirty things to us. They looped the fire hose around so that it was like, what? Oh, come on, seriously? And again, you can't see nothing. About then, the bells are going off on our water, on our air bottles. Ding, 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 ding. Again, my breathing's going. Slow down, or you're going to run out of air before you get out of this exercise.
Hurry up, man.
That's the way faith is. We don't always see how things are working. But are you holding on to Jesus? Because he will get you through the danger. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. I love that about God's nature. He desires all to come to a place of repentance, to say, you know what? God, I have sinned against you. Against you only have I sinned. Will you please forgive me? And he says, you know what? My son paid that price. Son, do you want to give them forgiveness? Yes, Father, I poured out my blood for them to make them holy, to make them righteous, to make them able to have a relationship with you, Father. It's all about you. I went through all that torture so that they could have a father, could have a father that loves them so intensely. You understand that God strongly desires our nation to come to repentance? So the question is not with God. It's with us. Do we desire our nation to come to repentance? If so, then we should be entered into one of the most powerful... What's the word I'm looking for? To worship with power, but one of the most powerful activities that we could ever be a part of. And that activity is prayer. You see, when my reach isn't quite long enough to stop a person, God's love knows no boundaries, and his reach is beyond my reach. Though people are removed from me and in despair, my prayers can energize God's favor to work in and for that person. That's a power that I don't always understand. And yet, I know because of studying God's word, God is everywhere. And he is willing to minister to everyone. And he'll reach you even in the darkest place that you might be. God is there. And all he's waiting for you to do is say, God, I've had enough. I need you. Title of today's message is Believe. God can save us now. And that's kind of a little play on things because us stands for United States. Believe God can save the U.S. now. And we, as a church, are partaking in the activity of praying for our nation and believing that God can. We can't. We're just a small church. We're not going to change this whole nation by our power. But when we ask God to tap in and do the fight, we have Him who has overtaken all powers, all authorities, all strongholds, everything that can ever speak against the knowledge of God. And we can take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And we can cry out for this nation to once again declare Jesus Christ as Lord. And we can be one nation under God, under His sovereign hand, His sovereign power. For He is sovereign. There is none other like Him. None other is powerful, all-knowing, all-sufficient. Is God sufficient enough for you? If you had everything else taken away, like Job in the Old Testament, if you had everything taken away from you, would God still be enough? Think about it. We get so comfortable with the things of this world that are just temporary. I mean, I don't know about your stuff, but I do know about my stuff. That my stuff, even though I buy it and it might be brand new, oh, by the way, I'm sorry for those on this room. Yeah, you can take the Hawaiian shirts off the body, but you can't take the Hawaiian socks off the man. Thank you for those who love me enough to give me new socks. My wife is totally jealous. She's like, man, dude, you're not going to have to buy socks for like ever. I said, I know, huh? Thank you for socking it to me last Sunday. And that was greatly appreciated. Believe God can save us now. Mark chapter 9, verses 17 to 24 is a passage we're going to use. And this is a man in great despair. He has tried everything else. And this is his story. He finds Jesus, and he's got his son with him. And he says to Jesus, read it with me. Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Jesus replied, you faithless people. How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. And when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the father, how long has this been happening? He replied, since he was a little boy. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. Jesus replied, what do you mean if I can? Anything is possible if a person believes. And immediately the boy's father cried out, I do believe. Help me with my unbelief. How many of us could declare that last sentence on ourselves? Believe, help me with my unbelief. I mean, this is a father who is distraught. And yet he knows where to go. And each and every one of us, when life is just so overbearing, when we know that, you know, things can't just possibly get any worse in my world, to me right now. I might say this stuff to somebody else and they might go, that ain't nothing compared to what I've had to go through. But to you, that personal thing is huge. And you have built it up. You have made it look so large that it has diminished God. I want to ask you this morning, instead of concentrating or focusing on the problems, focus on the problem solver. Because your God is bigger than any problem that this world can throw at you. And you say, yeah, Pastor, that's really easy for you to say. You've never gone through anything.
Good morning. So I've learned a lot about God over the years. God is faithful.
And we could all talk about our tests and our
trials. When I was professing to be an atheist,
is going to come up and he's going to share a testimony.
Belief in God was nonsense.
He didn't
know he was going to do that. This world is not what it belongs, what it looks like to our human eyes.
But he's got a tremendous
testimony. It's populated by a lot of beings that we can't see.
How God has worked with him.
And when I chose to follow the wrong beings, when I chose to follow the teachings of demon spirits instead of believing in the Word of God.
Let's listen to Brother Bill and to God.
And came to a point where I literally wanted to kill myself because I was so terrified by what I had learned and by what they were doing to me. God flooded me with the light of Christ Jesus and saved me. That's another story for another time. Over the years, when I was desperate for a wife, my wife had left me, my children had no mother, I spent an evening on my knees asking God for a wife, for a good mother for my children. The next weekend, I met Diana. And this has happened over and over again. When I've come to a point where I really needed something, where I was desperate for something, and I finally just said, God, I know you can help me with this. I admit I've done something wrong when the problem has been my fault. I admit it to God. I ask him for help not to do it again, and then he solves the problem. Well, 2 weeks ago, the phone had rung all day, people wanting money, and I was rather distraught about it. It bothered me for a while, but I had gotten to the point where I was really ashamed of the fact that God has blessed me with all of this income, and yet I had to admit to him that night that I had not been a good steward of the money that he'd allowed me to have. I'd spent it on things that I probably shouldn't have, and I really needed help. I didn't know what to do, but I knew that God owns everything. So I spent time in prayer asking for guidance as to what I needed to do to straighten out my life, and guidance is what I needed to do to solve this problem with our finances and to get out from underneath the shame that I was feeling. That was Monday night. Tuesday morning, I got a call from my wife at work. First thing she said was, I just checked the checking account. And I thought to myself, oh, not another overdraft. We have not enough money in the bank account to cover checks. She said, no, I just check the checking account to see if there's enough money in there to go buy some groceries. And there's way too much money in the account. I don't know where it came from, but there's a lot more money in the account than there is supposed to be. And I said, well, where did it come from? I said, well, it looks like it came from Social Security, but I don't know whether it was for you or for me. So I said, well, okay, I'll check into it and see if it's for real. And I couldn't believe at the time that, because I've dealt with the government before and knew that things like this just don't happen out of the blue without them making some kind of a mistake that I'm going to have to pay for later. So a couple of days later, I finally got hold of Social Security, and I said, look, this money, this huge sum of money just showed up in my checking account. And at the time, I was still having trouble believing that God had provided this for us. And the guy said, well, let me go check on it. I'll see what's happening and let you know what to do. And I said, well, mainly I just need to know where I need to send this money back to before you start charging me interest on it. or I get in trouble for having it. And he said, okay, let me go check. So about 20 minutes later, when I was about ready to end it all, listening to elevator music on the phone, the guy came back and said, well, from what I can tell, we owe it to you. I said, what? He said, yeah, we were supposed to start paying you your Social Security checks last April, and somebody messed up and didn't start sending them. And so we actually owe you this money. It's yours. Do whatever you want with it. So, at that point, I cried. And I thank God so much for his faithfulness. There's so many times that I've come into a situation like this where I was desperate, got down on my knees and asked for help, and he's always been faithful to help me.
Real faith, real belief. It acts, it depends, it expects. And I was really having quite the tussle with these three words, because actually they can go in any order. Real belief depends on God. It expects him to be true to his nature and wants us to act in faith on what God promises will be true. But then real belief acts. This man had a son who couldn't be healed. Even the disciples couldn't touch him. And so what did he do? He brought his son to Jesus. That's an action. And what was he doing? He was depending upon Jesus to give his mercy, his healing to his son. He is expecting that only Jesus had the empowerment to take this evil spirit that had come into his son time and time again to try to kill, steal, and destroy. Because, you see, that's what Satan wants to do to your life. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy from you. God came to bring life, and life abundant. And yet so many times in the Christian faith, we act like we're a bunch of paupers. We act like a bunch of poor people when in actuality, we have a Father who owns a cattle on a thousand hills. His love is lavished out upon us. In fact, God even looks for opportunities to lavish us with his love as he did Bill, but what do we have to do? We've got to act. We've got to come to the end of ourselves and say, you know what? I don't have the empowerment for this. And Lord God, if there's anything wrong in our relationship, please forgive me. Please heal our relationship through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, you know that I'm wrestling with this problem, and this problem in my eyes is huge, but I know in your big eyes, this problem is as nothing. Let your power overwhelm that problem in my life. Let me see through your eyes. Amy Grant had a song out. It was the first time that I'd really heard Amy Grant singing. And this song just touched me. The lyrics were, I want my Father's eyes. My Father's eyes. And the whole song is about seeing things through his eyes instead of seeing things through our eyes. You see, our eyes see, it's impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. Absolutely nothing is impossible. So that's what this father knew. I know through God nothing is impossible. this thing is harming my child, and I'm just laying my child down at your feet. Jesus, can you do something? Can you do something? I love it, right? This is not a man of deep faith. He's just got a faith as small as a mustard seed. If, in Jesus' reply, what do you mean if I can? Anything is possible if a person believes. Again, folks, we have beliefs in all sorts of things of this world. Amen? You have some kind of an injury or you have an illness. What do? You go to a doctor or you go to an emergency room. Or you go someplace where they will perform medical attention to you. Why? Because you believe they can bring healing to you, right? So if you have a broken relationship with God, do you go to people or do you go to Him? You get it right with Him because that's what Jesus longs for. Our nation has a broken relationship with God. Our nation is experiencing a spiritual epidemic. Our children are being told in schools today there is no absolute truth. They are lying to our children because God is absolute truth. In Him there is no lie. God is not a liar. He speaks the truth. Our schools speak evil. Our schools speak the power of Satan over our children mentally. And they get them hooked into thinking, well, there isn't any absolute truth. So those religious people out there, well, just choose a religion of whatever choice that is comfortable to you. No. No. There is only one true religion, and that religion is this. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. The Father so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever will believe in Him will have eternal life. Now, what did I say about God earlier? He is not a liar. So if God promises that you will have eternal life with Him, by doing what? By believing in His Son who died on the cross for you. Isn't it simple? It's not about a bunch of religious rules. It's about believing in a God that loves you so much. Brother John, give it to us. There you go. I love that man for his heart and for what he knows about God. He knows that Jesus loves each and every one of you. That God desires to bless you. And He has blessed you already. He's blessed you by prompting you in your spirit today to be here, to hear this message, to say, you know what? You're right, Pastor. I've been making my problems bigger than God instead of going to the God who's bigger than my problems. Let me rest in You. You are my provider. Thank you, Bill, for that great testimony. You are my provider. You are my restorer when my kids don't have a mom. You've got a mom out there just for my kids. And not just any mom, but a mom that'll be perfect to my kids, although I don't look at Diana DeHaven and go, that's a perfect woman. Sorry, Diana. You're not perfect for me, you know, just saying. But you are perfect Suzanne's my perfect match. Our nation is experiencing a spiritual epidemic. Can I hear an amen? So, how do we, epi, you break this word down. Epi means upon. The demic means people. There is a spirit upon the people of this nation that needs to be dealt with by the power of God. There was a spirit in this little boy that needed to be dealt with. And the only way that that spirit could be dealt with was by the power of God. How dare that spirit, when presented to Jesus, to have its one last act, to throw him on the ground and make him writhe and foam at the mouth and become rigid. How dare him challenge Jesus in that way? Yet did Jesus see it as a challenge? Did Jesus start going into all sorts of stuff? No, he just said, Spirit, get out of there. Boom. He knew who he was. Do you know who you are in Christ? You're a child of God. You're a child of the King. Is anything too good for the child of a king? Absolutely not. So why do we grovel from the world to supply our needs when we have a God, a King, who loves his children? Where are you going to with your problems? Where have you got your mindset? You see, to get an individual's attention, one sometimes faces a physical ailment or a shocking event. But to get an entire nation's attention, it often takes a magnanimous event, a huge event. It takes a September 11th, 2001. It takes a Hurricane Katrina. It takes a tsunami over in Indonesia. Oh, and all these events. Could we rationalize that maybe God was trying to send a message? Well, we could. After all, New York is the hub of the world's finances. Maybe God was sending a message that, you know what? I want you to depend on me, not on your investments. New Orleans, home of the Mardi Gras. A lot of, you know, and the Mardi Gras all in of itself was birthed out of a not so bad thing, but what has it been made into today? It's a week long of partying, getting drunk, women exposing their breasts so that they can get a ring of beads around their neck. I mean, come on. Let's get real. Indonesia. We wonder, well, these are just a bunch of poor people over there in Indonesia. Yeah, you know why? They're so poor because they don't have the economic strength that America does. But you know what it does to try to bring up its economic support? It sells its children as human slaves to some sick individuals who would like to have sex with a 10 to 12 to 14-year-old. They sell their own children. I think God might have been sending them a message that human life is a lot more dignified than that. John 12, verses 37 to 39, verse 44. Despite all the miraculous signs Jesus had done, most of the people still did not believe in him. This is exactly what Isaiah the prophet had predicted. Lord, who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? But the people still wouldn't believe. when a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. What's your belief in this morning? Is in an all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God who is there for you and your life? Or are you still depending on the things around you, the things that you can feel, see, hear, and touch to satisfy you? God is more than sufficient for all your needs. All your needs, as we heard from Bill. And I'm sure, not just from Bill, I'm sure I could call upon others in this audience to stand up and declare how God has met them in their time of need. And to God be the glory for what he has done. So what say you? Where's your ladder of belief? Is it on just any building that looks good? Or is it upon the building that will take you to eternal life? Loving Heavenly Father, let each one just examine their own life this morning and see just exactly where they are with you. Father, I don't judge them, neither do the other people here. For we are all on our own separate journey with you. And you alone know where we stand with you, whether our experience and our relationship is right with you. You know that. And I know it. And Lord God, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to look at me and convict me if my experience and my life before you, God, is in ruin. Would you please heal me through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for all my sins? Will you repair our relationship, Father? Because I want to be able, I want to be able to just run into your presence, to never be stopped at the door and say, sorry, sin can't abide here, go away. I want to be able to have the joy of just coming in and drinking in the glory of your presence. You have given me your word, Lord. You have anointed me with your truth. Bind up my broken heart right now. And let my words and my belief be true to you. Let my actions depend upon your strength instead of mine. Let my life expect and believe in your forgiveness. And to you be the glory for what you will do today as you set my feet today on a new path and one that leads straight to you. For I ask these things in Jesus' name.